Now, for the past few weeks, I've been sharing with you how God manifests His power through our Christian lives. While challenging our men last month, we found that God reveals His power in godly men who live faithful lives of compassion, confidence, conviction, and courage. And then in Acts 1:8, we heard Jesus declaring boldly to His disciples that we receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us, and we shall be witnesses unto Him. Then we found that we have overcoming power through prayer, the power of the Holy Spirit, and even through the love of God. And then last week we acknowledged that when we don't tap into God's power the way that we must, we are at risk of becoming fringe followers. And you don't want no part of that. So today, I want to preach on the heels of what Brother David said. I want to preach about one of the greatest tools that you have for keeping God's power spout on in your life. If followers of Jesus Christ are going to live the faithful lives that God's called them to, they're going to need to recognize and utilize the power found in this book. They're going to have to recognize and utilize the power found in the Bible. And if we will do that, listen to me, we will change the world.
Amen.
That's the high call of God on your life, is to change the world. But how does somebody get power from a book? How do we get power from a book? Well, the reality is this. This is not just a book. These are the words of the Holy Spirit of God that inspired men to write this down for our benefit. So therefore, it's not just a book. This is the living Word of God.
Amen.
And it says so much in the book of Hebrews chapter 4. If you want to go there with me in Hebrews chapter 4, the author says in verse 11, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living." Somebody say living.
Living.
"The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." Today, briefly, I want to explore with you the incredible power of God's Word. And I'm going to begin with the letter P, penetrating power. Did you hear what that author said in Hebrews chapter 4:12 at the very beginning? "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow." You see, friend, this word, this living, powerful word can penetrate the heart of an old crusty sinner like Bill Barlow. I know it firsthand. You see, God's word is a living issue. It's not a dead issue. It's a living issue. It's a living issue for every man, every woman, every child, in every time in history. And through this word, this powerful and sharp word, God offers something to every person who ever lives. Something that they must either accept or reject. It's a powerful word. Jeremiah 23 verse 29 put it like this: "Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks rock into pieces?" That's what happened to Bill Barlow. He lit me up, first of all, amen, and broke that old, hard as stone heart that I had. See, God's word penetrates the heart. It penetrates the soul. It penetrates the spirit of the sinner. And then it convicts us of our sin. It helps us to understand that there's no way we're going to enter into the presence of a holy God with such an unholy heart. And I pray that you realize that through this word, we're told of the forgiveness that comes to us if we will just change our course. If we will just believe in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But you know, the good news is this. Not only can God's word penetrate the old crusty heart of a sinner, God's word should be penetrating the heart of the saint. That's me and you, y'all.
Amen.
In the word of God, we find contained not only the issues of life, but also the issues of power. Specifically, God's power. If you want power in your Christian life, if you want God's power to enter into your Christian life, then you're going to need to infuse this word of God into your heart, your soul, and your spirit. It is a fact, friend, a fact of history that whenever God's people take his word seriously, then guess what? Things begin to happen.
Amen.
That's right. Happens every time in the life of a church, every time in the life of a Christian. When God's people take God's word seriously, they begin to realize that his word is not just something to be studied. It's not just something to be read. It's not just something that you write a book about. No, God's word is something that is to be lived.
Amen.
Live. And listen to me. When that happens, watch out. Because God is getting ready to do something mighty. So, there's great penetrating power in the word of God. But there's also overcoming power in the word of God. Through the power of God's word, Jesus overcame every temptation that Satan threw at him in that wilderness. You remember the story? Jesus overcame physical temptation. When he was in that wilderness, he was starving. He was hungry. Jesus overcame the enemy by trusting that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He overcame his physical temptation. He also overcame carnal temptations. You see, the enemy tried to appeal to Jesus's pride, but Jesus responded with God's word and just reminded him, declaring forcefully, friend, that he worshiped the Lord his God and him only would he serve. Can somebody say that about you? She only worships God and him only is she going to serve. Well, Jesus overcame those carnal temptations. But he also overcame the spiritual temptations. Satan knew the power of God. That's why he tried so desperately to manipulate the word of God. To try to get it to say something that it did not say. But Jesus recognized it immediately. Recognized Satan's scheme immediately. And then responded with the truth of God's word. Do you understand now why you need to know this power? Why you need to know this word of God for yourself? Because the only way you're going to overcome the physical, the carnal, and the spiritual temptations that the enemy will throw at you is by tapping into the overcoming power of the word of God. For 40 days, Jesus was tempted in the desert until finally he slayed that enemy. And what weapon did he use? The word of God. Praise the Lord. See, not only did Jesus overcome with God's word, we too. We too can overcome with the power of God's word as well. Have you ever considered this? If you're not battling day in and day out, if you're not fighting with the enemy day in and day out, could it be that it's because he's already won? If things are too easy for you, if nobody's bucking the system against your Christianity, could it be that the enemy has already won in your life? It's food for thought. I mean, do you daily pray on the whole armor of God? Do you daily pray on the whole armor of God? Each piece of the whole armor of God that the Apostle Paul shared with that Ephesian church, each piece is designed to give you overcoming power. Take, for example, the belt of truth. See, often like he did with Jesus, Satan tries to hit below the belt of truth. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He distorts the truth. And we got to be able to recognize that lie. We've got to know the truth. Friend, we live amongst fallen people in a fallen world, in fallen body. So how can we avoid the deception that the enemy throws at us? How can we avoid the destruction that sin brings? Cling to the truth. Cling to the truth with all that's in you. Cling to it. Don't try to make the straight crooked by the way you live. Don't try to make the objective subjective by bending the truth. Friend, don't try to choose or change God's truth to fit your will. No, live by the truth. Conform your will, conform your ways, conform your life to the truth of God's word. See, that's what Jesus did in that wilderness. And that's how he came out of that wilderness, successful, having whooped the enemy. But Paul also said that we ought to put on the breastplate of righteousness. You can't trust what the world tells you is right or wrong.
Amen.
You can't tell, you can't trust it. You've got to lean on and trust and pray on the true righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's the only way you're going to succeed. That's the only way you're going to have this overcoming power. Thirdly, we need to put on, as Paul said, put on the gospel shoes of peace. Let me ask you this question. Do you know enough of God's word yourself to share with somebody who's lost and going to be eternally separated from God? Do you know enough of the truth yourself to share with somebody who's lost? Maybe you need to put on the gospel shoes of peace so that they too can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. But we also are instructed to take up the shield of faith. The word of God accurately describes our faith. We're pretty weak, amen?
Amen.
I'm telling you. Right? The word describes our faith, and it tells us about the good. It tells us about the bad. It tells us about the ugly. But it tells us those things so that our faith can be increased, so that our faith can be strengthened. Paul also says, make sure you put on the helmet of salvation. The word of God tells you exactly who you are. Tells you exactly who you are without Christ, so that we will place our faith in him and become who he wants us to become. You know who he wants you to become? He wants you to become a child of God. John said it this way, but as many as received him, to them he would give the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Oh, friend, we got to have the helmet of salvation, but also we need to have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. All the other parts that I've mentioned of that armor are defensive in nature. Right here is how you fight back. Taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, fighting back, that your only offensive weapon is the word of God. And if you don't know it, you're basically just going to be defending your life all your days. God's word has penetrating power, but it also has overcoming power. The W stands for wonder-working power. Let me share with you a narrative in Luke chapter 5. You've heard this story before. So it was, as the multitude pressed about Jesus, listen to what they were wanting to do, to hear the word of God. Y'all with me? To hear the word of God, that Jesus stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then they called it quits for the day. And then Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night long and caught nothing. Nevertheless, and listen to what he said. Nevertheless, at your word. At your word, we will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, so much so that their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats and to come and help them. And they came and they filled up both boats and they began to sink. My. And when Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Wow, wonder working power. Did you hear there that by actively obeying the word of God, Peter became an active participant in the miracle? Think about that. He became an active participant in what Jesus wanted to do in that miraculous catch of fish. And the miracle was so great that the overflow broke the nets. The catch was so great that the two boats were actually overfilled and began to sink. This was no ordinary miracle. This was an amazing, wonder-working miracle. Frank, I tell you this, the power of God's word today is no different than it was 2,000 years ago when Jesus did that miracle. At your word, I'll let down those nets. That's what we need to be in the habit of doing. At your word, Jesus, we'll do what you tell us to do, and we can expect the wonder-working power of God's word. Jesus said this to me and you. He said, "If you'll abide in me, and my words abide in you, my words abide in you, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done." What a promise from our Savior Jesus. By living and by believing and by obediently striving to be in accordance with God's word, the words of Christ can become a miracle. When our wills are aligned with His will, then we become an active participant in the miraculous work of God in the midst of our own lives. How many of you know that God wants to do a miracle right smack in the middle of your life today? It may be in your marriage. It may be in the life of that teenager that's throwing temper tantrums. And I'm telling what the Lord might want to do in you and through you if you will just be an active participant, actively obeying the words of the Lord. See, when we truly become one with Him, when we truly become having His word abiding in us, abiding is that word living in us and living through us, then all of a sudden, we're going to start witnessing God's wonder-working power. You can expect it. You can take it to the bank. It's coming if you will live that kind of life that Jesus called us to live. So why don't we see the wonder-working power of God in our lives? Could it be that we're not abiding? That God's word is not living in us? That it's not living through us? That's a question for you to answer. Because God's power is penetrating. The power of God's word is overcoming. The power of God's word is wonder working. But it's also everlasting power. In Matthew 24 and verse 35, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." They ain't never going nowhere. Think about it. In today's society, things don't last. I was talking to Janet about this. Do you know that we have a washing machine and dryer that is almost 20 years old? The reason that it's 20 years old is because we bought it back when they built them right. Amen. But it's ironic that we still have this washing machine and dryer. They're still working. But most of the things in our lives aren't like that. Most of our things are deteriorating. Our possessions are fading away. Our dollars aren't worth near what they were a couple years ago. Amen? Due to inflation. But listen to me. The power of God's word endures to all generations. You want to know where the greatest investment you can place your life? Right here. In this word. The power of God's word. It said that the words of Christ are more certain than the existence of the universe. More certain than the existence of the whole universe. Guns, tanks, Wars, even nuclear weapons can't destroy it. Why? Because the living word of God becomes a part of who you are. Do you want to know why the Gideon International puts such an emphasis on the word of God? Because they know that if the word of God can get into the hands of those who need it, into the lives of those who need it, there ain't no power on earth that can kill it. Power. Psalm 119, verse 89. Bible says, forever. Say forever. Forever. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Forever. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established it on earth and it abides. They continue to this day according to your ordinances, for we are your servants. Let the word of God abide in you, friend, and it will endure to all generations. The power of God's word endures. The power of God's word lives on forever. Penetrating power, overcoming power, wonder-working power, everlasting power. And then finally, I got to share with you, the word of God has revealing power. Revealing power. At the end of verse 12 in Hebrews 4, the Bible said the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. A discerner. It is a revealer of what's going on in here. You read the word of God, it'll tell you exactly what's going on in your heart. It'll tell you exactly about the sins you struggle with. It'll tell you about exactly what you need to remedy the struggles about what's going on in here. See, people make a bad habit of pretending a lot. A lot of people put on a front, but in God's presence, those masks are stripped away and God sees you for exactly who you are. Ain't no hiding from God. There's no hiding from the word of God. God knows you. He created you. He fully understands you. He knows exactly what's going on in here. And listen to what he really wants. In your heart of hearts, he wants you to want to be like Jesus. See, the reason that many people don't become like Jesus, many Christians don't become like Jesus, is because if the truth is told, they don't want to. Well, the revealing power of God's word will tell you exactly why that is. Tell you exactly why things need to be carved away, chipped away from your life, so that you can become like Jesus. That's the holy directive from heaven, is that his children become like Jesus. The everlasting Son of God. Yes. My mama used to say, Billy, I hated when she said that. Billy, I know what you think before you think it. And I wonder if in a smart way I said, wow, Mom, you must be God. You know what I would get? Bam! She could take that flip-flop off and throw it at me faster than I could blink. But here's the deal. Not only does God know what you're thinking before you think it, he knows why. Amen. He knows the motives that are going on in here. Billy Graham said that God knows the intents of your heart. And even those intents can be sinful. See, not only does God's word reveal the motives of our heart, God's word also reveals his will to your life. God's word reveals his love to each and every one of us. God's word reveals his promise that he'll save us if we'll just turn to him and place all of our faith in him. God's word reveals to us the direction that believers need to live a Christian life that influences us, especially the next generation. Somebody say amen. Amen. So, would you say that you're seeking after God more than you did yesterday? Would you say that you're seeking after God more than you did last year? Or less? More? Or less? The answer comes in the revelation of God's word. And if you will let the word of God abide in you, listen to me, it will change you from the inside out. It will change you if you'll just tap into the power. One unknown writer wrote this about this book. He said, this book, in it, is contained the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Read it and be wise. Believe it and be safe. Practice it to be holy. It is a traveler's map, a pilot's compass, a soldier's sword, and a Christian's character. Christ Jesus is its focus. Our good is its design, and the glory of God is its end. Let it fill your memory. Let it rule your heart. Let it guide your feet. Read it slowly. Read it frequently. Read it prayerfully. Because in this book you'll find a source of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. Follow its precepts. And listen carefully, friend. It will lead you to Calvary's cross. But it won't stop there. Because from there, it's going to lead you to an empty tomb. And don't stop there, because from there, it'll lead you to a resurrected life in Christ. But it won't stop there, because ultimately, it will lead you to glory itself in heaven with God Almighty for all eternity. Wow. Friend, this book releases the power of God in your life. The problem with so many Christians is we don't let it. We don't let it provide us with this penetrating power, this overcoming power. We don't allow it to produce this wonder-working power, this everlasting power, and this revealing power. Because see, this word reveals your greatest need and mine. It's got revealing power, all right. So have you looked into this powerful word of God? Do you spend any time in this powerful word of God? Have you looked into it to see what it reveals about your eternity? Because see, everybody's going to have an eternity. Amen?
Amen.
It's just a matter of location, location, location. This book reveals things to us like all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It reveals things like, hey, there's a price for that sin too. That the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It reveals things like this to us, that God demonstrates his own love toward us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It reveals things like the fact that God's grace comes to us through faith, that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This word reveals that if we will confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, listen to me carefully, you will be saved. Oh, I'm so thankful that I took that revealing power from this word and applied it to my own life one day. And I want you to know that you can do it too. You can do it too. The question for you this morning is, have you received God's promise of eternal life as it is revealed in this powerful, powerful word? Let me pray for you. Father, where would we be without the Holy Spirit's guidance as it's found in the powerful word of God? Father, I pray that this morning that if anyone here today has heard a message from you, have heard you declaring forcefully about the changes that need to occur in anyone's life, Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Father, they come to you this morning. Father, during this decision song, Lord, it would be such a privilege just to pray with someone who stands in need of not only salvation, perhaps a stand in need of just some changes that need to happen in their life. Father, whatever the burden is, help us to realize that the burdens were not intended for us to carry. The burdens were intended for us to turn them over to you. Lord, I pray your blessings and your anointing on this decision time. And Lord, I pray that your powerful word will resonate in the hearts, minds, spirits, and souls of every person here this morning. Let it be for your glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.